Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
All right, Exodus. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Exodus chapter 15. There's a little bit of background that's going on here in Exodus. Exodus just means that, exit. They're exiting out of Egypt. And I love how God miraculously delivers them out of Egypt, out of bondage, through the Red Sea on dry land. I love that when God delivers them through the Red Sea, it's on dry land. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but he goes through the Red Sea, it's on dry land. That's also a miracle. And as they go into a place that's the desert, really. And God leads them there. I find it very interesting that God leads them through a bit of desert, and in that desert time that they go through, it's hot, it's dry, as deserts are. That's what makes it a desert, and it's not like the sand kind of desert, if you have that in your mind. It's more of like a rocky, dry area that they're going through, and they want what anybody wants, water, as they go through that dry time. And they start going, "How, Moses, did you bring us out here just to die?" And he cries unto the Lord, and they actually come to this little pond, I guess you would say, and they're so excited. They get to this pond, and they get there, and they scoop the water. And I sort of had this picture, the whole nation just sort of flocking there, and they scoop the water, and they start drinking it, and they spit it out, and they're like, "Oh, it's bitter. It's bitter." And they started complaining against the Lord. And as they were complaining against the Lord, we're going to pick it up in Exodus 15, verse 24. The people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And so he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And he cast it into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. And there he made a statue and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. Notice that. It was a test. This is a test, only a test of the emergency broadcast system. You guys remember that? It was like, remember that on your TVs when you had that? This is a test. It's only a test, you know, so no one would panic. But this is what God was doing. He was doing a test. Why? He knew what was in their hearts. Later on, we find out, as Paul wrote about this, he says that they would know what's in their hearts. It's funny, tests are that way. You find out a lot about yourself as you go through them. But he put them through this test. Verse 26, it says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on which I have brought on the Egyptian, on you, on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." I love that. I am the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He was revealing to them something about his character, something about his nature through this test. And it's funny, when you go through tests, you do find out not only about yourself, but about the Lord. And you find out a new depth that you never knew. And in this test, they found out that the Lord heals. And you may say, "Wait a minute, Jason. Wait a minute, how in the world does waters and bitterness," and he reveals healing to them. But here's how I believe how the Lord was showing them was he led them to the waters and they tasted the bitterness. Some people are like that when, and I think all of us are like that, sometimes when God delivers us out of the bondage of our sin, we get into this new life with Christ, getting in the waters of baptism. I love doing baptisms. Baptisms are just awesome. Whether I'm doing them or seeing them, man, I love it. It's just such a pillar. It's a testimony. Like it's sort of a dividing line. This is the way the old life was, And this is, boom, this is a brand new life, sort of set, this is sort of something they can set in the ground and saying, hey, this is, from this point forward, I'm walking with the Lord. I love baptisms in that way. And as God delivered them through the Red Sea, and that was being a baptism, they went through a dry place. And as the Lord leads us sometimes through dry places in life, he never promises life to be easy, problem-free. He was leading them to the land flowing with milk and honey. He was leading them there. He was getting, they were going to that location, but on the way, there was a dry time that was ordained by God, that God wanted to show them what was in their hearts. And as they tasted the bitterness, they spit it out, and they're, God, what is going on? Did you bring us out here to die? And right then, I love this picture, how God showed Moses a tree. A tree. Cut it down, throw it into the water. And, okay, I'm going to cut down a tree. So there it is, Lumberjack Moses, right? And cuts down the tree. But for him to throw it in there, I don't know if you ever thought about this, in order to throw anything, you got to what? You got to what? Let it go. You got to cut it down, pick it up, and let it go. Let it fly. Just with open hands, let it go. If you picture Moses throwing the tree, he let it go into the waters. And that tree made those waters sweet. What was the Lord speaking to them? What is the Lord speaking to us through this? You know what? We don't have trees underneath our sinks for water purification systems, I think. At least we don't. I don't know about you, but I don't think I put a tree underneath my faucet and run my water through a tree to make it, to take out all the impurities. God wasn't showing us just how to make pure water. He was showing us something more, way more valuable than that. Of the tough times that we go through, the dry times in life, the rocky desert places that we go through in our Christian life. He's leading us. He's showing us, for one, what's going on inside, but also what to do in those times. When you get hit with and taste something in this life that is bitter, just like the children of Israel did, what do? Cut it down, pick it up, and throw in the tree. We throw in the tree. We let go of whatever it is. Whatever it is, not for us to hold on to. Man, it's so easy to hold on to those things that make us bitter, that can make life bitter. But I really believe tonight, and this is something a little bit different than what I was planning to share, but during worship, I really believe that the Lord wants to say something to someone here tonight to pick it up and to let it go. You need to let it go into those bitter waters, whatever it is, and keep on doing it. Keep on throwing it in. And only the Lord can make bitter water sweet. Notice, he does the miracle. He is the one who can take something bitter and turn it into something sweet. Only him. He does the miracle. But he wants us to throw in that tree. And no doubt it becomes, the symbolism becomes so rich in light of what Jesus has done for us on another tree, on the tree on Calvary. Because what did he say on that tree on Calvary? God, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. On that tree, he was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's the tree we throw in, the tree that he chose to hang on for you and for me. As he bled and he died for our sins, that we might be healed, that we might be forgiven. And I love this nature that God reveals about himself, that he is the one who heals. He's the only one who can heal. But after he heals, and after this goes on, in chapter 16, he reveals to them something that comes down from heaven, something like bread. And I love the word manna, because as this thing that came down from heaven, and they came out of their tents, and they came upon this thing, they wondered, what is it? And that's what manna is. It's what is it, bread? I love that term of just, what is it? I don't know what it is. I don't know. I wonder who the first person was that ever ate manna. Who was the gutsy one? You know, the very first one that ever saw it. You know, there's got to be somebody that always got to be the first person to try it. You know what I mean? Who was the first person to try whatever it is, that vegetable that we are so commonly use in our kitchens or whatever? Who's the first person? Oh, I guess it looks sort of good. Let me try it, you know? And everybody watches. I wonder who the first person that came out and grabbed the manna and ate the manna, because they're like, what is it? I don't know. And they started eating it. And God revealed to them about manna that it was a daily thing. You just can't just grab a bunch and I'm going to save up for the week or the month or the year. God wanted them to get up and get out of their tents and to go get it every single day, except for Sunday. Then you get two portions. Or actually, sorry, Sabbath. I guess it would be, if they did Sabbath back then the way they do it today, it would be Friday at sundown to Saturday at sundown. So I guess you would be on Friday, you'd get a double portion. But I find it so interesting that Jesus said in John, when he was talking about after the feeding of the 5,000, that he was talking about that manna in the wilderness. And when Jesus puts his commentary on that story of manna in the wilderness, as they daily went out and got it, that Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, believes on me, will never die. And he points to himself, he is the, not just the manna that just fed them for a day, but he says, I am the manna that you can eat on, that you will live forever. And obviously, to them, they didn't understand that. They didn't understand the beautiful symbolism that Jesus was talking about, because they're like, what are you talking about, Jesus? You're talking about cannibalism? Wait a minute, doesn't it say, you know, really bad things in the law for anybody that's a cannibal? And you're asking us to, like, you want us to eat you? Doesn't make any sense. But in John chapter 6, verse 32, it says, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives his life to the world. Verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He is the bread of life that we come to. The water that we need. The reason I talked about this, one of our basic needs in life is water and bread, in a way. Some kind of carbohydrate or something. Bread and water. Jesus is the water that as we taste the bitter things in life, he can make it sweet. Reveals his character to us. But also, he is the bread that comes down from heaven, that he is the bread of life that we can come to. And that's why I'm so excited about communion tonight. As we feed on him, two things I think the Lord's really put on my heart is communion and communication the Lord wants to have with us tonight. Communion and communication. Communion, I looked it up, the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. The sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings. Communion. I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't come just to give us information about God. He gave us communion with him and communication with him, that we can have an interactive fellowship and communion with him, intimacy. That's face to face. If there's one thing that I wish coming here tonight would be for you, is that you would have some good time one-on-one with him, in communion with him. For him that has saved us, that has washed us, that has redeemed us, has bought us back out of the darkness. I love Ephesians chapter 2, the black and white that comes out of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you he made alive who were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we have once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as the others." Verses 1 through 3 of Ephesians chapter 2, Paul puts down a black canvas, a huge black canvas of this is what has happened. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We used to walk according to the course of ourselves, course of our flesh and of the mind, to fulfill the desires, to fulfill our desires. That's what way we used to walk, was after our desires. Me, myself, and I, the trinity of stupidity. That's the way life was used to be all about, was about ourselves. And suddenly we found out, man, life is not in this black hole that I'm trying to feed in myself, that I'm trying to fulfill and satisfy my desires and just finding it all to be emptiness. Emptiness and emptiness again, but we keep on going. And keep on trying to satisfy it. But we keep on coming up emptier and emptier and emptier. But I love this contrast in verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love is which he's loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, who made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." I love this, "but God," it's this dividing line. This is the darkness that we all once walked in, but the light broke through. This is the point in time where God intersected with us in life and blindsided us, so to speak. He sure blindsided me. I wasn't seeking after him, but thank God he was seeking after me and seeking after us, seeking after the lost sheep, as we all were. And yet he didn't see us just as a lost sheep. He saw us as something way more precious, as a pearl of great price, that he paid all that he might buy that field. The coin that he would pay all that he might receive and get us back and redeem us and wash us and cleanse us, and that he might whisper in our ear, "Hey, you're my kid now. You're part of my family. And guess what? You get to call me not just God, you get to call me Father." And we get to be part of his family, becoming part of his, being a child of God. And in verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are his poema, that workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, that we might walk with him. He didn't create us just to put us on a shelf. He created us to live life with him in communion and communication, interaction. so funny. It seems like in our culture, we want everything to be interactive. But you find out that's the way God made us, was to be interactive relationally with him. Not just talking at God, but talking with God and having this communion with him. To sort of wrap it up and everything together, the reason I shared about the water back in Exodus and the manna was that there are tough things that we go through in life. But as we're going to remember him tonight, we are going to cut those things down and choose to let it go into those waters and let him do the miracle. Let him do something miraculous and provide for you that manna, like the manna that comes down from heaven, him being the picture of that manna, that bread of life to satisfy our soul. He not only heals, but he satisfies. He redeems and he restores. He forgives. He makes us a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I love the word all in the Bible. All means all, and that's all means. That's how you remember all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever means whosoever. All means all. God is not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. If you're here tonight, and you may say, you know what? I may know a little bit about God, but man, it sure sounds like what you're talking about. It sounds like something way different than what I think it is. If you're here tonight and you have not made that decision and haven't believed and received and known the grace of God, the grace, God's wonderful gift. It's this beautiful gift with a red bow of his blood and wrapped with white paper of purity that he wants to give you. And we get to unwrap and enjoy what he has given, what he has done for us. Because it was on the cross, he said, it is finished. It is finished. It's finished for us, that we would no longer have to strive and to struggle for God's favor or God's approval or for our salvation, wondering, oh, I sure hope I can make it. I sure hope I get in. It is finished. By faith, through his grace, we receive, we enjoy, we get to enter in, and out of that, we get to breathe as the weight of our sin is upon him. He bore it for us. By grace, we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's a gift. It's a wonderful, amazing gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And that's what we get to do tonight. Not boast in what we've done, but boast in who he is and what he's done for us. That he paid the price. He paid for our sins. He bled and died and rose again from the dead. And he lives and he reigns on high. And we get to enter in and saying, yes, Lord. Yes, I receive that. Yes, I believe that. And if you're here tonight and you're caught up in something that you shouldn't be caught up in, you're wrapped up in something that you shouldn't be wrapped up in, and you're saying, I don't know how to get out, he is your freedom. As you call upon him tonight, as we come to the table, he's going to ask you, do you want my forgiveness? Do you want what can cleanse your soul and give you a new, fresh start? I hope you say yes. If you're here tonight, if you have not believed and received, please say yes. If you're here tonight and you're a believer and you're caught up in something you shouldn't be caught up in, it's time to let it go. But let us have ears tonight to hear what the Spirit says to us and to receive it. What is the Lord speaking to you? Receive what it is he's wanting to speak to you tonight. And you may say, well, I don't feel like anything. Start being open to hear the voice of the Spirit, what he wants to speak to you. Believe and receive and allow it to come into your life. Let's enter in to all that he has for us. Let's pray. Father, tonight, as we come to your table, and Lord, we enter in to what you have for us. Lord, I do pray for somebody here that if they are wrestling with some bitterness, some hard things that they've been going through, God, I pray that you would help them let go and to trust you, knowing that you paid it all for them on the cross. Lord, I pray for those that are trying to find satisfaction in something else besides you. God, may they come to you as the bread of life, because only you can satisfy the hunger of the soul. Father, I pray for those tonight that are maybe caught up in something that they shouldn't be caught up in. God, lovingly convict them and draw them to yourself as they confess their sin. And Lord, lastly, I pray for those that are maybe here that haven't believed and really trusted you as Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that tonight, right now, this would be their time. That they would say yes to you and invite you, the living Savior, their Creator, to come into their life and to receive you. Let's take a moment of time right now, just in the quietness of your heart, and just respond to what it is the Lord that has spoken to you. He wants to have communion and communication with you. When Paul was reintroducing the Lord's Supper to the Corinthian church, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:23, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" He told us to take it. He told us to eat it. He also told us to remember him. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Can you join me in prayer? Jesus, we remember you in our midst right now. Thank you, Jesus, you're here among us. You're not a fairy tale or something we made up, God. You're among your people. You're alive, risen again from the dead. And you're still bearing the marks that you took for us. And you're going to be bearing them for all eternity as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, Lord. Thank you for bearing our sin, God, for your broken body. Broken for us. And Paul said, verse 24, when he had given thanks, in the same manner he took the cup after the supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so let's take the cup now. And as you hold it in your hands, I encourage you to remember the blood of Christ that cleanses you from all sin. Like I said, I love that word all. All means all, and that's all means, right? He cleanses us from all sin. The new covenant that he made with us. Not just written on tablets of stone anymore, but it's written on the fleshly tablets of our hearts. Jesus, we thank you so much that you are so close to us, God. You're not distant. You don't know. You're not ignorant of what's going on. Lord, I thank you. You know each one of our hearts. And you know all of our sin, all of our mistakes. But God, thank you that your love and your grace is greater than our sin. And Lord, you just didn't watch and stand by and just watch us die. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Lord, thank you for paying the price for our sin. Jesus, thank you that it's your blood that cleanses us from all sin. Lord, please cleanse us. Renew our minds. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a beautiful thing to stop and to remember and to think and to meditate and contemplate. But it's also a good thing to rejoice. To rejoice in what he has done. And that's what we get to do tonight. We don't get to leave somber in our own sin, but we get to realize he paid our price and we are set free. Free to receive, free to give, free to live forever with him in heaven. The hope that he set before us. I don't know about you. I am so glad I'm set free. Set free by him that died for us. He deserves it. Man, is he good? Is he good? That's right. That's what I'm talking about. He is good. He is faithful. And as we go out of here, let us rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice for what he has done and what he is doing, making us new creations, renewing our minds, and being faithful. Man, he is so faithful. Man, we have such a good God that knows us and loves us. Man, be blessed. Go forth rejoicing in what he has done. God bless you guys. May you guys have a great night.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.